Anakin was on the straightaway, but he knew his steering had failed completely as soon as it happened. He knew his braking system had shorted as well. This time, the problem would not be easy to fix. It had not happened through the nav computer. He flipped switch after switch, but some kind of override had been programmed into his pod racer. The turn was ahead. He was still hugging Hecula's tail. He had been preparing to make his move and pass him just before the turn. Now he knew he'd never make it. Instead, the pod racer would not turn. It would go out of control and crash into the stands. He felt the force around him and in him. In moments like this, Anakin felt capable of anything. There was only one thing to do, and he knew it. He saw the steps ahead that he needed to take. He made his move. He slammed himself against the side of the pod racer and pushed the engine so that he maneuvered close to the left side of the tunnel wall. Then he accelerated and came up neck and neck with Hecula on his right. Hecula shot him an incredulous glance. It was as though Anakin was inside his mind. Hecula could take the opportunity to make one quick swipe, forcing him against the cave wall, and Anakin would be a fireball in seconds. But if Hecula did that, Neelumph, who was close behind them, would swing out to the right and no doubt win the race. Revenge or victory? Anakin had bet on the answer. Hecula did not turn his pod racer to sideswipe Anakin. Instead, he began the turn. Victory was too close for him to take the chance. The spectators gasped as the two pod racers rounded the left curve, seemingly one connected beast. The flat straightaway was ahead, the finish line crowded with the pod racer teams and spectators who had risked the anger of pod racer security and jumped out of the stands. Anakin pushed the speed, passing Hecula. Then he cut the power and slammed all his weight to one side. His pod racer began to spin. He crossed the finish line, spinning so wildly that neither Hecula or Neelumph could pass him. The pod racer came to a slow stop. At first, Anakin could not hear the cheers over the ringing in his ears. He had won, and no one was dead. Suddenly, he felt very tired. He saw the faces as a blur. Liviani Sarno looking strangely pale, his master looking grave but relieved, and Sebulba snarling at him, waving his arms and crying foul. Hot anger spilled through Anakin. He threw off his goggles and vaulted out of the pod racer. "You," he thundered at Hecula and Sebulba. "You're the cheats." The red mist he had come to recognize as rage filled his vision, driving out the memory of the clarity of the Force.
"Slave boy, you have to cheat to win. There's no mother watching this time to disapprove."
Anakin reached down for his lightsaber, but a strong hand closed over his. "No, Padawan." Obi-Wan's voice reached him as if from a long distance. "He did it." Anakin struggled to keep the rage away. He pictured the red mist leaving him, floating over a distant hill. "He deserves to be punished."
"No."
Obi-Wan's voice was stronger still. He drew Anakin away. "Listen to me, Padawan. Sebulba did not cheat. It was Dobie and Deland." Anakin blinked. He could not absorb the words. "It was... they made a deal with Maxo Vista," Obi-Wan said. "They would have advanced knowledge of the pod racetrack. What they didn't know was that Vista was going to sabotage the pod racer. He wanted a fireball, a tremendous accident to occur. That means that I was getting advanced track information. Not Hecula," Anakin said slowly. "It wasn't just the Force." That explained Hecula's sometimes puzzling failure to get ahead. He looked around. "Where are they?" "They've disappeared with Jella," Obi-Wan said. "I am sure they did it to save their sister." The mist in Anakin's head cleared. He took a breath and looked around. Ferris Olin was watching him, as he always was, his dark eyes gleaming with secret knowledge, as if he had glimpsed the red mist that was Anakin's rage. Nothing was as he thought it would be. He felt his legs trembling. He had almost lost control in front of his fellow Padawans and two Jedi Masters. He had come so close. "Nothing has turned out as I thought," Anakin said. "I was here to work on my Jedi lesson of connection to the living Force. If that is true, I failed. I judged everyone wrong. I didn't see that Dobby and Deland were using me. I trusted my instincts and they betrayed me." "Do not judge yourself so harshly, Padawan," Obi-Wan said. "Your mistake was one of the heart. You allowed your emotion to cloud your instincts. You allowed what your heart wanted to be true to make it true. Connections to other beings, good and bad, must be pure and free of one's own desires. You wanted Sebulba to be the culprit, so you made him one. I thought my connection to the living Force was clear, and it's not at all," Anakin said moodily. "I have such a long way to go." "If it makes you feel better, I made the same mistake with Maxo Vista," Obi-Wan said. "Jedi lessons are learned by masters as well as Padawans. Wisdom comes with time and missions," Anakin said, repeating Obi-Wan's own words. Obi-Wan smiled gently. "And mistakes," he said.
This is Jonathan Davis. We hope you have enjoyed this production of Star Wars Jedi Quest III: The Dangerous Games by Jude Watson. This program was produced, directed, and abridged by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer, Jacob Bronstein. Star Wars Jedi Quest III: The Dangerous Games is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 2003. All rights reserved, used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music Master Production, copyright 2003, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.